Time now to bring in Ben Scrivens, former Oiler, former NHL goaltender. Good morning, Scrivy. You're with Kevin Karius and Mark Spector. Thanks for coming on Sports 1440.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I thought we were going to have a hair talk, and I was well, getting excited.
I was wondering where you were probably putting a lot of products in and getting ready for tonight. That's a long process for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's hair wash day is a real thing. All the hair wash math that women talk about is tried and tested.
Yeah. You know, I've noticed you haven't been at many alumni skates recently. Is that because everyone's figured out that toe drag of yours?
You know what? I got to keep people guessing, but the reality is I've actually been busy, kind of burning the candle at both ends. I've had some fun alumni trips in the past past couple weeks. We had our AGM in St. Louis, and Kelly Chase put on just a fantastic event down there. There's an alumni game, and it was undoubtedly the best lineup I've ever played with. Like, half the guys were Hall of Famers. I was for sure out of my element, but got to meet some country stars. Garth Brooks was our coach. Dierks Bentley was there, and at the end of the day, they raised over $600,000 for the Jimmy V Foundation and cancer research. So it was just a phenomenal event, and maybe someday we can host those here in Edmonton and put on a good show for the deserving fans here in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. We obviously have the alumni and the star power to bring in a pretty ruthless Oilers alumni group. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I'll make the cut for that roster.
Yeah, that was the puck cancer, and Kelly Chase is battling like a son of a gun here. He was front row and center. How's he doing? And he's a favorite for sure.
Yeah, he looked great, and there's quite a few members of the alumni group that were there that have had their own personal battles and in different stages of it. Brian Boyle was there, Granato was there, and obviously Kelly Chase and a couple others. So Kelly's doing great. I mean, he looks great. He looks like he's got good energy, and he's a fighter, and he's just got the best support around him. So overall, it's such a great event and a worthy cause, and to pair that with some business for the alumni association was a good alignment. Mm-hmm. But it kept me away from the alumni game, the alumni skates here in Edmonton.
Yeah, you didn't miss much. So, I watched them. Yeah. They're not that good.
No. All the guys, every time Koff comes down to watch, the D-men seem to step up a little bit.
I'm not sure
what's going on.
Yeah, you got that right.
Hey, listen, speaking of stepping up, this is a time for Stu Skinner to kind of, how would I say? Let me start again. McDavid and Draisaitl are going to play their 50th playoff game tonight. Mm-hmm. This is game number 50 for that duo. Stu Skinner hasn't played as many, but he's the guy responsible for keeping pucks out of the net. And to, you know, it's time for this McDavid Draisaitl era to win something here. Is one playoff run enough for Stu Skinner?
Yes, I think so. And the reason I think that is that you have had numerous examples of goalies who have had no playoff runs who have had success and long, deep runs in it. I am for sure an outlier in this, and you guys might roll your eyes at it, but like you don't need the. Gone are the days where you need Patrick Waugh to win you a Stanley Cup. Gone are the days where you need Dominic Hasek or Marty Brodeur to carry you, the Jaguars, steal enough games and enough rounds to win you a Stanley Cup. Those days are gone. You do not need colossus goaltending in order to win.
Okay.
What you need is team defense. You need consistency down the middle. You need your top pairings to play big minutes and to play sturdy big minutes. You need timely scoring. You need depth scoring. You need your third line to produce. And when you have all those things going, you tend to have more outside shots. You tend to give up fewer grade A chances. You tend to play a more grinded out playoff style hockey, which is conducive to goaltending and having good stats. So Stu has had, you know, he's got experience from last year. What he doesn't have probably is the bullpen support mm-hmm. that he had last year. Like if you remember back to the LA series, you know, there was the tough game down in LA. Jack Campbell comes in and basically the Oilers are hemorrhaging in a game that they must win. And Campbell makes a couple big saves, save on a breakaway in the second period, big glove save either in the first or in the third period mm-hmm. and gives the Oilers enough of a life raft in order to win that game. I don't know that Stu has that type of bullpen support this year. So the pressure is on. He's got to be more consistent, but the consistency comes from the team defense in front. And I think that they have that. They've got probably a deeper team than they had last year. And I thought last year they had a really good chance at it, right? With Bjugstad and some of those big forwards coming in. I thought the Carrick and Henrik trades were good. They're a well-built team. It's just a matter of like putting it all together now and getting luck. You need some luck here and the player, the Oilers deserve some, they've earned some. That's the challenge. That's why they play the game, see who gets it.
Yeah. Ben Scrivens with us on Sports 1440. I'm not sure if you can remember back, but when the Oilers played 2006 against Detroit, they gave up a lot of shots against the Wings, but everything was on the outside for the most part. And Dwayne Roloson said that, you know, even though I'm facing, 35, 40, 40 some shots a game, they're not that hard of shots, and they're not that more. The difficulty of saves, not there. It's not at that level. Would you agree that that's kind of what you were getting at with what the Oilers have to be to do to be successful against the Kings, Scribby?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't remember that quote verbatim. I actually don't know if I remember. I remember him making like a kind of a Superman glove save at home against Detroit, which is like, you need to make a save or two, but like Stu's been making a save or two all year. So has Calvin Pickard, and historically Campbell has had, games where he's been able to do that, depending on who they kind of slot in the lineup. But that's exactly right. I mean, you had Chris Pronger back then, who was, he was
okay.
Commanding that ship.
He was okay.
He's, Hall of Famer. And like they had a sturdy defenseman, they had timely scoring, all of the stuff we kind of ran through. But yeah, you make things consistent and clear in your own zone. Now the goalies know, where the shots are coming from. You clear the net front and you give them opportunities to see. And all of a sudden life becomes a little bit easier for everybody, right? The better the job of gets done in front of them, all of a sudden there's fewer rebounds to contend with. There's fewer of those like playoff style wars in front because your goalie's making some consistent saves and not giving up the rebounds where you now have to expend extra energy battling net front. You can save that for 200 feet down the other end.
Ben Scrivens joins us. Ben, I don't know how much of the Kings you've watched this year, but they're going in a, like, we're talking about Scrivens that's shown a team here in Edmonton. He's played very solid. He's played well. The Colorado game, we're not even talking about that game. It didn't count.
There's so many question marks about that one.
Yeah, that was a disaster. The other side, Cam Talbot has been somewhere less than that. There's some question marks around Cam Talbot as a starter. And David Riddick is a proven number two. I mean, when I say that, I mean, he's nowhere close to a number one. I guess I'll just ask you your thoughts on LA's goaltending, and is there a question mark going into the series?
Yeah, I mean, I think the question mark becomes flashing and more glaring when you hold it up, when you juxtapose it with the Oilers' offense, which is, I live and die by that. Like, I'm not changing my answer with LA. Like, you don't need phenomenal goaltending in order to win. But the team defense of LA has to be that much better because the Oilers' offense is that much better. Like, we haven't seen the Oilers' power play really be like the gut punch that it's been in the past. And that's a good thing because it has meant that their 5-on-5 game is doing more of the damage, more of the, the leading of that. But I mean, they have the same players. They have the same lineup from that historic power play run of last year. And like, you know, you really have to stay out of the box. You can't give the Oilers like free looks on the power play because, you know, it's only a matter of time before these big guys convert. As far as Talbot, you know, he's got to come in. If you're on LA's perspective, like you got to come in and you can't try to win games. You can't try to steal them. Because when you start getting out of yourself and looking for big saves, looking for momentum changes, you start chasing the game and you just get roasted. You start to, you know, on 2-on-1, you're looking for a big save on the pass across. That's when a guy shoots short side and it's an ugly goal, right? Like you got to play it consistent. You got to play the shot for what it is. And the big saves will come. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's what they're going to need out of Talbot. And his challenge is bigger. The LA team's defense challenge is bigger just because of how potent this Oilers offense is. Mm-hmm. and how deep it is now.
One last one for you, Scrivy. You mentioned team defense several times today. What did you think of that team defense in game one between Colorado and Winnipeg yesterday?
Yeah, well, you know what? I kind of love it because it used to be that playoff hockey was like you'd win 2-1 in double overtime. Hmm. And it's like, it's for the people who love it, they love it. But for like a league that's trying to expand the game and grow the game and for, how do we put it? For like a lay person mm-hmm. down in the States or any of these like non-traditional hockey markets, mm-hmm. like goals are king, right? Like that's where the excitement comes. And so for playoff hockey, I mean, it's the trend has been going this way for a little while. I mean, we think back to the Calgary Edmonton series. It was only 5 games, but it felt like it was 100 goals in it, right? Mm-hmm. Couple 8-6 matches. You know what? Like, I think it's a good thing. And at the end of the day, right? Like, team defense is important in like not giving up the next one. And you know, undoubtedly, those both Colorado and Winnipeg will kind of go back to the drawing board and probably give up fewer. And Bieksa had a decent little breakdown. It was mm-hmm. like during in between periods that they were just like clumsy with the puck in their own end, and it was kind of like shooting themselves in the foot. And that stuff really gets cleaned up quickly in the playoffs. So I foresee certainly on Winnipeg's end, more of a contained defense conscious game than mm-hmm. In game two than both teams demonstrated in game one.
Yeah, they're going to tighten it up for sure. Hey, Scrivy, thanks for this. Really appreciate your time. We'll see you maybe down at the rink tonight.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.